Thank you for watching Exchange TV. This current series, I Choose the Fruit of Grace, is all about how we can choose to live in the goodness of what God has already put in us. So prepare your heart to be blessed today. Prepare your heart to be encouraged with this incredible message of God's love and grace.
We started our new series last week. Gary McKibben opened up for us. It's called I Choose the Fruit of Grace. Or the fruit of the Spirit, whatever way you want to take it. So Gary kicked that off last week, just setting the tone of what we're going to be doing, what it's going to be based on. So basically it's going to be based on Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such thing there is no law. That's Galatians 5:22 to 23. So it's based on that. So each week from now to the end of summer, we're going to be focusing on one fruit of the Spirit. So this week, I'm starting off with love. Next week will be joy, peace, and so on to the end of the summer. And we're going to have loads of different speakers. We've got Gary McKibben speaking again. We've got the lovely Wayne Maholland and the beautiful Andrew Toogood. Like the way I'm giving them all lovely names. The beautiful Andrew Toogood. Don't tell him I said that. Hopefully he doesn't watch this. The beautiful Andrew Toogood will be doing it as well. So it's going to be great. It's going to be an incredible series. It's flowing on nicely from what we did last, Inside Out, Grace, the Power to Change. Liz was saying there, is that me? As Liz was saying there, Elijah hasn't been great at the minute. It's been actually a crazy 9 weeks for us. He's been struggling with his milk. So initially, we tried to breastfeed him like I did with Ariella, and that did not work at all because he was just like sick constantly. He was crying constantly. He was awake constantly. He just couldn't get comfortable. He was just totally driving us mental. I was literally hold my hands up, I was going nuts. Like, honestly, Stephen can say, knows that fine, right? He was around our house 2 weeks in to see the destruction that it was causing. So then we moved on from that and tried normal milk. And the normal milk, same thing happened, spewing it all up. Then the thought, maybe he's got reflux. So we tried anti-reflux milk. Anti-reflux milk kind of worked, but it did work. You know, anti-reflux stuff worked. Stopped being sick, but then he was constipated, so that was great fun as well. So then we were stuck with a gurney baby because he couldn't get it out the other end, which was amazing. So we tried that. Then we moved on to Carabel. Wasn't it Carabel next? Which kind of worked a wee bit with the other milk, but then he just ended up getting, thank you, as fussy again. Worked for like 3 days, and then that was him. He just went crazy. Again, that was only last week. So finally, thank goodness, I'm not going to lose my wits and move to flipping Peru or something. Thank goodness they've found, they think, that he is lactose intolerant, which is fine by me as long as he's comfortable. So they've prescribed this, which is actually amazing. See, to be honest, see if your kid's lactose intolerant, they prescribe you the milk. We don't need to buy formula. I think that's incredible. That's like saving us like how much, like £16 a week? Provision right there. Lactose, no, we can't say lactose intolerance is provision. That's horrific, Adam. Sorry about that. Take that comment back. I'll just sit down. Stephen, do you want to finish? So yeah, we think we figured out. He's been totally relaxed, totally chilled. But honestly, Ariella, if you know Ariella's character, she completely deceived us. Honestly, she was an incredible baby. Like honestly, incredible baby. And she just let us down a false sense of security right there. Because Elijah has been mental. No offense to him, I love him to bits, but he's been mental, and we have been knackered. But kids are mental. I remember there was a time. My mum told me this wee story. I was a toddler, and we had just bought a new VCR. We got ourselves this brand new, shiny VCR. I don't know. I think VCRs have been out for a while, actually, because I must have only been like 3 or 4. And I'm not that old, just to clarify. Just to throw that out there for all of you. Brian, no laughing. I'm only 24. See? This is what a hard life does to you. But we had just bought a VCR. And my mum and dad were delighted with it, obviously. We were able to stick on tapes and stick us in front of the TV so they needed to look after us, which was great for them. So I was given a jam sandwich one day. And my mum and dad were so proud of this VCR. And I was put in the living room alone, so it's not my fault, with a jam sandwich and a VCR. And I'd seen my mummy and daddy sticking tapes in that VCR all week long. So obviously for me, jam sandwich, the shape of the tape, near enough. For me, I was looking at it going, this is going to work. Jammed it in there, got on, will I change this round? So, brilliant. So, I naturally jammed my jam sandwich, VCR, took off, left it there, And probably a couple of hours later, my mom and dad cracked up when they realized that I had so lovingly delivered a jam sandwich in their VCR and completely wrecked it. I think my dad like tried to take it apart and tried to fix it and remove the jam from the spindles, but I don't think there was any luck in that. So completely wrecked VCR. So life's kind of like that though, isn't it? In life, we kind of have loads of things going on, loads of different parts. We've got our body, we've got our mind, we've got our soul, and there's lots of maintenance and lots of different ways of looking after what we have. And there's also ways to input things that we need in life. So for our body, we need an input of nutrition, of food, of rest. We need to be able to maintain what we do. So we need to have the right input. If we put the wrong stuff in it, if we put in McDonald's, don't look at me like that, Stephen. You may end up looking like me. And you may have the wrong output. But if you put the wrong input into your body, you're going to get a bad output. It's just how things in life work. If you put the wrong thing into your mind, you're going to get a bad output. Whatever you input is what you're going to get out. So what I'm talking about today is love. And what I want to say is, like our body, like our mind, our spirit is exactly the same. Our spirit has a fuel. It's got an input. It's got something that needs to maintain it. It's got something that needs to keep it going, to keep it maintaining, to keep it actually flowing, to keep it like a well-oiled car ticking over and going forward. Our spirit has got something that it needs to propel itself in life. If we don't have this fuel, then we're just going to crumble and fall, or it's going to fall. If we're going to put the wrong thing in, we're just going to fall to pieces. And the fuel of our spirit is Corinthians 13, 1-3 says, it gives us a vague answer to this. It says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but I have not love, I gain nothing. So no matter what you do in life, even if you are operating in the most incredible prophetic ability, or if you're the greatest prayer warrior around, no matter what, that doesn't matter what you do, even if you have all faith, even if you have the most incredible faith to move mountains, it doesn't matter. It says you gain nothing if you don't have love. If love is not involved in your life, you have nothing. You're void of anything. And this is the fuel that fumes and fans the flames of everything that we do in our life. Love is what fans and brings about every good thing in what we do and every good thing in how we feed into other people's lives. Love is what creates and generates and keeps going, creates momentum, maintains everything that we do. Love is the core value of it all. So, it says here that even if I have all faith as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. So it says, love is greater than faith. Is that right? Loads of people would argue that. Loads of people would say, no. You need faith. You need your faith. You need to believe. If you don't believe, you're not saved. If you don't believe, you're not righteous. If you don't believe, you're nothing. Well, no, it says if you don't love, even the faith you have is nothing. Even you, in fact, it doesn't even say the faith you have. It says, if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Lovely. So, I'm going to be on a lead now. I'm going to look like Lee Evans. Has anybody ever watched Lee Evans? He has a massive big lead in his mic. Definitely a bit wider than Lee Evans, but anyway. So now before you start thinking I'm a heretic and I'm trying to tell you you don't need faith or you don't need to believe, hear me out. Wait and see what I have to say here. Wait and see how I'm going to bring this about. Because I am not saying that you need a faithless lifestyle and you're fine. But what I am saying is that most of the Christian walk that people encounter, most of the Christians, in fact, all the Christians I ever encountered in my life up until I came to this very church, it was all about law. It was all about what you did. It was all about how you acted. It was all about how you contributed. It was all about what you did. It was all about the faith you had. It was all about you can't have unwavering faith, because if you have unwavering faith, you're going down to hell and you're all done for and nobody's going to make it. And there's really a set amount of people that have been selected. Oh, I was just like, I do not want a part of that. I don't want that. That's not what I wanted in my life. My life was not going to be controlled by a sphere of influence that didn't affect my heart. I didn't want my life to be influenced by something that wasn't from the heart outwards. That didn't sit right with me. So you see, people say,
faith saves you. You're righteous by faith. Well, let's take some time. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, so now faith, hope, and love, these three, abide these three, but the greatest of these is love. So faith, hope, love, the greatest of these is love. There's nothing greater. There's nothing greater you can have in your life. There's nothing more perfect, more complete than love flowing out of you into other people. Love flowing into you to make you feel secure, to make you feel cared for, to make you feel wanted. There is nothing that you need more than a perfect love pointing within you to say who you are. There's nothing you need more. 1 Corinthians says the attributes of this love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy or boast, it is not arrogant or rude, it does not insist on its own way, it is not irritable or resentful, it does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. And 1 Peter 4:8 says love covers a multitude of sins. You see, in essence, faith doesn't save you. Just got to be really bold and throw that out there. In essence, faith doesn't save you. Faith alone would never have saved you. The only thing that saved you was Jesus Christ coming down, being nailed to the cross, taking your place, dying and resurrecting again so that you could live out a life of perfection and righteousness through him. People always say, you're saved by your faith. The Bible says that. I get that. You're saved by faith. Yes. But you're saved by Jesus. We null and void constantly the fact that we're not, it's not this thing that we muster up within ourselves that makes us saved. Because for flip's sake, I know fine rightly, saved was to do with my faith. Saved being saved was to do with what I believe. I would be well and truly snookered. Honestly, just being honest, I would be completely snookered if it was put on me. If it was down to my faith and what I believe, I am not a Christian. Just being deadly honest. If that's what it's down to. And you know what? Nobody can live out perfect faith. Not one of us will live out and never ever doubt. Not speaking that over you, but that's just how it is. There's things in life that creep up and you will have but within a second of going, oh no, what are we going to do? Even that thought of fear of going, what about my money? And we all have it. Like Margaret was saying, we all have things in our life that we go, oh no, that we have less faith in certain aspects of what we do. And therefore, if it was to do with what you believed or your faith, then according to the Bible, you can't be saved. But that's why I thank God that that's not what it says. It says that love came down and rescued us, that it was Christ so loved the world that he sent his only son. It wasn't that Christ so wanted the world to believe. It was because he loved us. It was because of what he felt for us that he sent his son. It was because of what he thought of us. It's the value that he put in our lives that made him send his son. And it's in this truth, it's in the truth when we realize that it is not our priority to have people to believe right. It is not in our priority to make people understand that they need to obey the law right. It is not our priority to make people understand that they need to be good little soldiers to be saved. That is not, to be honest with you, that's not my priority in life. My priority in life is that I see people loved, that I see people cherished, people cared for, people realizing the true value within themselves. That is my priority. Because honestly, from that, when you encounter that love, it says 1 John 4:8, God is love. When you encounter any love, when you encounter somebody that is pouring out themselves and putting themselves behind and putting you in front, when you encounter that, you're encountering God. You're encountering a tiny bit of God's character and care for you. And for me, that is way more important than somebody acting right, because not one of us acts right perfectly all the time, period. Every day I stumble. I have things I go through every day that I will be angry or I will be frustrated or I will be annoyed or something that I will go through that I'll be like, you know what? That's not necessarily entirely okay. But I'm so thankful that I understand, that I comprehend that, you know what? This isn't up to me. Thank goodness it isn't up to me or anything I can ever do or I could have ever done. Everything that God is, everything that he could ever be and everything that he ever has been is expressed in love. In perfect love, he expresses himself. In perfect love, he embodies who he is and how he feels for the world and why he created the world. Everything that we need to know about who we are, everything we need to know about what the world is all about, everything that we need to know about what is going on in the world is all embodied in the fact that God loves us. Everything he ever did for us, the cross, is embodied in pure and perfect love. That is all we need. That's all we need to know, honestly. When we comprehend around the fact that stop striving to believe, stop striving to have faith, stop striving to be a person that in here isn't really. Because it'll never work. You'll do it for so long, you'll crumble and you'll fall. And people look around, people go, well, that guy's a hypocrite. He's trying to be somebody else that he's not. Because you know what? I just stand in front and I go, I am who I am. I don't get it perfect. I won't get it right. I don't have perfect faith. Honestly, don't. And probably never will. That doesn't bother me because I'm so flipping grateful. You see, when we can become a church that prioritizes the fact that loving people and sharing the love of God with people is our core value, that's when we'll start to see the fullness that we also try and strive towards. That fullness that we constantly work towards, that we constantly strive for, that we constantly try to be, that fullness we will see embodied when we just decide to be people that sits back and loves God and loves people. It will be fully embodied in the fact that we just go, God, all this is about is the fact that you want to see your world cherished and loved in the love that you've shown us. That perfectly embodies the gospel and perfectly embodies what we are meant to share with people in the lives that are around us, in the broken lives that are around us, in the people who need help, who are in front of addictions or in front of whatever it may be that you struggle with in your life. When they encounter pure and perfect and just completely seamless love, when they encounter that, that is when people are changed. But you know what the clincher is here yet again? I can't love perfectly. By no means at all. Like, I adore Elijah, right? But I have not loved him perfectly for the first 9 weeks of his life. But that doesn't get me down, because you know what? It's flipping mental. Honestly, see, when you're knackered and you're tired and you've got a baby who's sleeping in the same flipping bed as you and shouting in your face to wake you up, it's like, oh my word, this is crazy. And I have not shown him that perfect love that it says that love is patient, love is kind. Oh my word, I have not shown that. Patience and kindness, I have not been these past 9 weeks. But you know what? We can't love perfect. And that's the clincher in this again. That's the part where we go, Grace Church, it's all about loving people. It's all about caring for people. Then we fall again. Because it's like, oh my word, I can't even do this. It's like, I got myself to this point where it's like, yes, it's not necessarily about me. It's not about what I can do. It's not about what I bring to the table. It's all about him. Now just love people. And I was like, yes, this is amazing. And then I failed. Yet again, it was like, grace is amazing. And then you get religious about grace. So it's like, I can't even love people properly. All he says I have to do is love someone, but I can't even love my own flipping wife perfectly. The person who, well, sorry, I was going to say the person who I adore most, but I adore Ariel and Elijah most. Sorry, Hannah. But I adore you in a different way, so it's okay, wherever you are. But honestly, the people who I adore most, I don't even love in a perfect way. I honestly don't. And it was when I encountered that blatantly obvious fact in my life that I can't even do what the grace message asks me to do, that I crumbled a bit inside. And I was like, I can't even be a Christian. Because even when I believe in the grace word of loving people and caring for people, I have failed. And that's where tons of people in the religious world have came into grace churches, have tipped the toe right in the tide and just went, let's test to see what this is like. And they've cleared off because they've went, I can't do it. They have went, I cannot do it. I cannot even love perfectly. I cannot have faith perfectly. And when you're in a church that tells people it's all about your faith and it's all about your love, we yet again put people into condemnation. Because we turn people into the fact where it's like, I can't, I can't, I can't. When it's like, it's not about us. It's never been about us and it never will be about us. Thank you, Jesus, that it's not about me. Because I would not get it right. I turn around now and go home if it was about my faith and my love, because I feel desperately. But this is the glorious truth of the gospel. 1 John 4:19 tells us we love because, anybody? Nobody knows that. Nobody knows that. We love because he first loved us. Not because we mustered it up inside ourselves and decided to love somebody. Not because of that. We love because he first loved us. our love comes from a place of realization of what he has already placed inside of us. It doesn't come from us mustering it up. It doesn't come from us being good little soldiers. It comes from us realizing, actually, I don't need to do this. I don't need to do it. He has placed it in me. He has placed it in me so that I can live out of his love, so I can live out of his faith, out of his goodness. Not that I won't see failures, not that I won't get it wrong, but he has placed it in me so I don't need to rely on myself. See, when we realize that, it is all about him first loving us. Because here's the thing, I don't care who you talk about in the world. There may be some terrible people in the world, but everybody has loved someone at some stage. Honestly, every single person on the face of the earth has loved at some point. Or they've experienced a love for something at some point. No matter who you're talking about. Okay? So if we love because God first loved us, at the minute that he created us, that he decided to know us before he formed us in our mother's womb, at that point, he placed a bit of his love in every one of us. He put a bit of himself in every single one of us before we were even born. Because we can all love, and we can all experience love, we can all feel love. You know, nobody is love blind. They may be as they experience life, and that their character is curtailed, or it's damaged, or whatever. People can experience horrific things in life where that can be altered, and then as they get older, they may not experience that feeling. I get that. There's people who experience that. But when you're very firstborn, the very fact that you exist and that you depend on a mother or a father or a carer or whoever that is, the very fact that you have that dependence is love itself in you. The very fact that you even survive, the very fact that you want fed, that you need your food, that you need your sleep, that you need, honestly, babies, I know from the past couple of weeks, take so much flipping love. And the fact that every single person that's ever been the face of this planet has been a baby, they have needed to be loved by someone in some shape or form. Maybe not perfect, don't get me wrong. But at some stage in their life, they've experienced a slither of hope and love. So God has poured it out in every single one of us. God has placed it in us, whether we're saved or not. God loves us. God adores us. God wants to see the best for us. God doesn't want to punish us. He doesn't want to beat us down. He doesn't want to see us trampled. He doesn't want to see us thrown to the wayside. He wants to see us restored into the realization of what he initially had placed in us. That seed that he placed in us to germinate from the very, very start, that seed that he went, this is what I want you to live through. No matter who you are and no matter what you've experienced in your life, this is the seed that I initially placed to germinate within your heart. And what he wants us to do, what he desires us to do, is to realize that that is already in us. It's not mustering it up. It's not creating it. It's not believing in it. It's the realization. I got saved through the realization that God loved me. I honestly, I didn't believe first. I didn't have faith first and then experience God's love. Because I didn't. All I had was a realization and a knowledge that he loves me. And that consumed my life. When I realized that he had already placed within me all that I needed, when I realized that all that I ever could be and all that I ever can be is already inside of me, when I realized that anything that I will ever walk through in life and any strength and any power that I ever need is already inside me, even before I was a believer, it was already inside me, it was already placed within me. That very love that all of this goodness flows from was already in me. So back to Corinthians 1:13-13, it says, now faith, hope, love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love. Now that word abide, right in the middle there, it's a Greek word that literally means to dwell. I think it's meno, M-E-N-O, and it literally means to dwell. So when it says abide and we think abide is something that I have to do, that I have to, see, when I sit in my house, I don't need to do anything. When I sit in my living room and decide to watch TV or spend time with my kids or to spend time with my wife, I don't do anything. I dwell there. It's just somewhere I walk into, somewhere I can just be, somewhere where I can just be who I am, somewhere where I can just effortless. Because our homes are effortless. Our homes are somewhere, when we create them to be places of love and care, are effortless places. They're places where we go to relax. It's a place where we sleep. It's a place where we have trust and reliance and to keep us safe, to keep us protected from everything that goes on outside, whether it's the weather, whether it's people, no matter what it is, our home is our safety, our dwelling place. And when it says abide, so now faith, hope, love, abide these three. It says dwell. And when it says, but the greatest of these is love, we're to dwell in that place of love. And when God is love, when God is that love, all we have to do to live in this place of love, all we have to is realize where we are already seated. You know, we're seated in Christ in heavenly places. All we need to do is that realization of who we already are. And from that place, from that love, from that, we have faithfulness, we have hope, we have goodness. It is, I got faith, I believed and had faith because I experienced love. That is my personal testimony. And that's all anybody needs. And when we go into the world preaching the gospel that is, you do this, you believe this, you have faith in that, that's why people don't want to hear it. That's why we push so many people away, because we've lost the initial essence of what the gospel really is. We have lost the essence of what Christ initially meant it to be. When we start trying to tell people what they need to do, instead of telling them the realization and the revelation they need to see it all come from, is Christ in you? Is it Christ has placed his love, his perfection within you already? You need to do nothing. And when I say nothing, I mean nothing. He loves you. He adores you. He cares for you no matter what you've been through. He's placed himself within you. All you need to do is gain that revelation, which is your salvation. When you gain that revelation of Christ in me, the hope of glory, that is your salvation. It's the revelation of what he's already done, not your choice to start to try and believe. It's that revelation within you that spurs on everything else in your life. You know, it says in Galatians 5:6, I'm about to close. Galatians 5:6, it says, but faith which worketh by love. So even our faith, like I said at the start, is to work through love. But the Myhrer translation puts this incredibly. The Myhrer translation says, it's a translation by a paraphrase, more likely by a guy called Francois du Toit, who's a South African guy. For our South Africans down there. And he says, love sets faith in motion. Love sets faith in motion. Love is the energizer for everything you believe. If I did not have faith in my wife, I wouldn't love her. If I did not have a certain amount of belief and trust and openness, would I love her? Would you? If you didn't trust someone, is there love that can abide there? But the thing is that it isn't in the fact that I trust her, that I love her, but the fact that I love her, that I trust her. I grew in love with her so that I trust her, so that I have faith in her. I grew in love, and from that love grew a place of faith and of belief and of confidence in who she is. And you know what? Sometimes she's not the person who I have confidence in her being. But then sometimes I'm not the person who she has confidence in me being. There's times where we've both slipped up and messed up. But the fact is that we bring it back to the fact that our relationship is based on our love for each other. It works. It's the same with God. When our relationship with God is based on not us mustering up love, but receiving love from him, and through receiving that love through him, flowing out in that love into other people's lives, it's then we will see the fruit that we desire to see within ourselves and within other people. When that love fills us to the brim, it will not help but flow over the top and touch the people who we're closest to and people we encounter in our everyday lives. It cannot help but filling us up and flowing out. That is just the fact of love when it is in your life. You want to give it to everyone. You want to see people touched and blessed and encouraged. You see, love sets faith in motion. It's easy for love to believe. It is easy for love to believe. When you love, because I love Hannah yet again, it's easy for me to believe her. It's easy for me to go, okay, when you tell me something, I don't question it anymore. Because I love you. So I don't. Because I just believe you. And that's not something that I actively have to do. It's just natural. It's just something that flows from the place of me loving her. So here's my point. When we commit our time, not to working and stressing and being a good little soldier, but to living more in the presence and realization of his love in our lives, when we live in a place of the revelation of his goodness and his prosperity and his healing and all the rest of that incredible stuff that follows his love, it is then that we will truly live as people of God. It is then that we will truly live our life that deserves incredible things. Because through love, you just go back and read. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Who wants some of that in their lives? Like, because I definitely do. I want a whole lot of that in my life. I want to see a whole lot more of it in my life. And you won't do it yourself. You will not do it yourself. Oh, there's the Lord. He's calling me there through an iPhone. So when we're filled to the brim with his love and the knowledge, it's not even us going, he loves me, he loves me, he loves me, he loves me, he loves me. It's just the realization and the revelation that he does love you, full stop. It is just the realization that he has put his love in you, period.